All right, so we're holding the last line of Ches Amud Beis. We were talking about the whole issue of Shechting and Kisi Adam on Yom Tov. So more dinim on that. Amar Rabba, on the bottom it says here, Rab, Shochat Sipur Me'erev Yom Tov. Now, up until now, we've been talking about a person Shechted on Yom Tov and what the dinim of Kisi Adam are. What about in this case, he Shechted on Erev Yom Tov? And he didn't yet get around to doing the Kisi Adam. Then you're not allowed to do the Kisi Adam of that blood on Yom Tov, because Rashi explains, because after all, it's not going to prevent you from Simchas Yom Tov, because even if you don't do Kisi Adam, the brood is still mutter to eat. Although it's interesting, actually, so the Rabbeinu Hanano uses the expression that if Posha, that if he was careless and didn't do the Kisi Adam, which brings the Shara Tzion, part of Mishnah Brura, to ask, according to Rabbeinu Hanano, would that mean that is he implying maybe that that if it was B'shogeg, it would be fine, because otherwise he might not be allowed to eat the bird. In other words, maybe Rabbeinu Hanano would disagree with Rashi and say, if you don't do Kisi Adam, you're not allowed to eat it. So if Pasha, then tough luck. He was careless, therefore he can't do anything. But if it was B'shogeg, then maybe we would allow him to in order to be able to eat it. So it's a Shara Tzion, maybe it's a Tzarech here. So that's the thing. Rashi says yes. Rabbeinu Hanano possibly implies that no. By saying the word posha, the Shaira Tzion says Rabbeinu Hanano is possibly implying that maybe if he did it, that maybe he wouldn't be allowed to, and therefore fine. If he forgot to do it, b'shogeg or whatever, then we're going to allow him to do it in order to be able to eat it, but otherwise not. On the other hand, continues Rabba or Rab, Gilgul Isim, Erev Yom Tov, a person needed a dough on Erev Yom Tov, Mafresh Men Chalosa B'Yom Tov, then he's allowed to take Chalof Men on Yom Tov. Now, we're going to learn in the last perek of Or Masechta a bunch of things that Midrabanan you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov, and one of them is to take Truma and Meiser. Nevertheless, though, Rashi explains that you are allowed, after all, to make dough on Yom Tov, because the Chachamim, that wasn't one of the things that the Chachamim wanted to prevent you from doing, because it's good to be able to eat hot bread. So therefore, when you're making dough, automatically that implies that you should be able to take challah from it. So therefore, you're allowed to. Tosfos actually gets into a discussion about it. One possibility is, first of all, Tosfos says maybe we're talking about over here where he didn't finish all the kneading before Yom Tov. Maybe in fact, if he finished all of the kneading before Yom Tov, then it taka would be also for him to take challah because he should have taken challah then. Whereas if he started the kneading on Erev Yom Tov, now technically you can take challah as soon as you mix the flour and water and do the beginning of the kneading, as you know, once it all becomes one mass. Nevertheless, though, practically speaking, people take challah only at the end of that process, so therefore maybe that's when we would allow him. So that's one possibility Tosfos brings up. Also, there's the difference of, which the Gemara itself is going to mention, between in Eretz Yisrael versus outside Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you can't eat from the dough till you take challah. In Chutz La'aretz, now midaraisa challah doesn't apply in the morning. In Chutz La'aretz, challah doesn't apply midaraisa at all. Of course, it's mitzvah tlui baretz. It only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Only midrabanan do we do it in Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, as the Gemara is going to say now, you have a concept that you could eat from the bread and take off challah only afterwards from what's left. So that also factors into it. As the Gemara itself is going to say, so Tosfos points out that what Rab is saying over here, that you're allowed to take challah on Yom Tov, may be talking about mainly in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Avur de Shmuel Amar. On the other hand, Avur de Shmuel says, Afilu Gilgul Me'isim Erev Yom Tov, Ein Mafresh Men Chalos B'Yom Tov. No, even if you made the dough Erev Yom Tov, you're not allowed to take challah from it on Yom Tov, unlike what Rava said. Because when the Chachamim allowed you to take challah is only when you needed it on Yom Tov. Here, you should have taken the challah Erev Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Lema Pligda de Shmuel Ad Avur de Shmuel. Do we have to say then, based on that, that it seems to come out that Shmuel disagrees with what his father says, because his father is saying that you can't take challah from a dough that was made on Erev Yom Tov. On the other hand, Shmuel says that when it comes to challah from a dough that was made in Chutz La'aretz, then you can go and eat most of it, and then you take off challah at the end. So Rashi explains the question. Therefore, it comes out that the taking of challah is not really necessary. because otherwise you would have to take it out at the beginning, like the Torah says. So therefore, it comes out that taking it on Yom Tov is not really misakin, such that we should make a gzera. Like this, why is it that you're not allowed to take truma or challah on Yom Tov? Is because it's misakin, you're fixing it. Before it wasn't edible, and now it is. Well, if you're allowed in Chutz La'aretz to eat it without taking challah, then it's not misakin. Now there is a different concern. About taking challah, namely that it looks like you're being makdish. You're not allowed to be makdish on Yom Tov either. But Rashi is not paying attention to that point. He's focusing on the part about misakin. So it comes out then again, Avur de Shmuel is saying that you're not allowed to take such challah, which implies that for him it's considered a real tikkun, without which you wouldn't have been allowed to eat the dough. And on the other hand, Shmuel is saying it's not a real tikkun, because we see that you're allowed to take it only at the end. By the way, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi on a point over here. Rashi is saying you can eat the whole thing and just leave an amount left for challah and then take that after Yom Tov. Tosfos says no, you have to leave more than a shiur challah, because you have to take out of it, and you have to have shiur reha nikorin. You have to have that after you take out the challah, there's still a recognizable leftover which is not challah.
Isn't that a matter of brira?
It's not a matter of brira, no, because you need to take out challah, but there's no particular piece that you need to take out of challah. So it's not like if brira would be, for example, in this case, if let's say you took out a piece and you're not sure whether it's going to be challah yet, and then at the end of Yom Tov, you're going to say this piece that I pre-designated before Yom Tov is going to be challah. That we could talk about whether that's brira or whether some other piece was really meant to be challah. But here, where you're first separating it out after Yom Tov, then no. That this is also true, right? By Dirabanan, we do say we allow Brera, and Chalas Chutlar, it's Dirabanan, right? Omar Rava, so Rava says no, not necessarily of Shmuel and his father disagreeing, because Milo Moda Shmuel, Shem Kora, Allah Shem, doesn't Shmuel after all agree? It's true, you don't have to designate it before you eat the bread. You could designate it at the end, but nevertheless, Shmuel would agree that if you did designate it as challah, that Zorim are not allowed to eat it. So we see, in other words, that when you designate it, it is called Truma, so it would be included in the rule of Ein Magbein Truma Semaisris Biyantiv. So therefore, Shmuel could well agree with his father that it's one thing on Yom Tov itself, the Chachamim are going to allow you to do it again because you're allowed to bake the bread, therefore you're allowed to knead and bake the dough, therefore you're also allowed to take challah from it, and the Chachamim are going to allow you that so that you can have a hot bread. But if you kneaded the dough out of Yom Tov, then you should have taken challah then, and then the Chachamim may not allow you to. So again, Tosfos discusses over here. So based on this, then, are we talking Rabba's original din? Is he talking in Chutz La'aretz, or is he talking in Eretz Yisrael, or both? And the same thing when Avur de Shmuel says it's also, is he talking in Chutz La'aretz as well, or is he talking about only in Eretz Yisrael? Tosfos ends up saying that the halacha is like Rabba, that you would be allowed to take the challah regardless whether the dough was made today or yesterday. On the other hand, many other Rishonim Paskin, like Avur de Shmuel, who says that no, only if the dough was made on Yom Tov, not if it was made before Yom Tov. And that's how it's brought. That is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. A further detail you have in that is, so what do you do as far in Shulchan Aruch? It also talks about what do you do as far as so if you designate out that piece, then don't you have a problem? What can you do with it? You can't. There's no koyin nowadays that you can give it to. You can't bake it. You can't even say on the face of it. You can't say let's bake the whole thing and afterwards we'll take out a piece of it and give it to the koyin, because you have no according to one. So there's a machlokas aposkim actually. What are you allowed to do? Are you allowed to actually bake the entire challah and say, like we're saying over here, afterwards I'll take out a piece and burn it as challah, because on the face of it you're not allowed to eat that piece. So therefore it's the equivalent of we're going to learn in the next parak, I think, about let's say you have a dough that belongs to two partners where you don't have the right to eat a certain part of it, and you're not, and let's say if the other partner was a goy, we're going to learn in the next parak, you're not allowed to make food on Yom Tov for goyim, therefore you wouldn't be able to bake that bread. So on the face of it here, it's the same thing because you can't bake it. That's one opinion. The other opinion is that after all, you could, because ultimately, especially as Tosfos is saying, you're not separating out just the size of the challah. You're setting aside a little extra more than the shiur challah and taking out from that a shiur challah. Within that piece, then, there's a part that you can eat. So therefore, according to that, you should be able to bake the whole thing. So the Alter Rebbe summarizes, he says, that the ikur is kesvar achron, the primary decision in halacha is like the second opinion, so you would be allowed to bake the whole thing. But it's better to be machmer, like the svar reshoina, and therefore to be and to be careful about it in the first place. One thing also, he goes on to describe over there, one possibility is you can make a second batch that's even less than a shiur challah and put them together and then have, and then the second batch can be what you designate challah out of. And on Pesach, what you do is you bake them all, and then you take matzah, and then you take challah from one of the already baked matzahs. That's the thing. Oichel nefesh only applies if you can eat it. You can't eat the challah. No, because there's no koyin toho nowadays. Right. So what we're saying is, according. So what Shmuel is saying over here is that in any case, in chutzlar, that you have a way out anyway, because you can be oichel and then mafish, oichel v'hoylech and then mafish. So that's not the problem. The problem is, if you're making dough on Yom Tov, and within it is the challah, and unlike what we're talking about over here in the Gemara, where you're giving the challah to a kohen to eat, nowadays you don't have that. So what do you do as far as that? Is where it gets into that whole discussion, whether you're allowed to bake it, given that it has a portion in it that you're not allowed to eat, or do we say, nevertheless, you're allowed to bake it, because that portion that you're not going to eat also includes a portion that you're going to eat. Okay. Mishnah says, Bishamay Omrim. So now, in the first Mishnah, we learned of several machlokas in a Bishamay Bishilol, one of them directly, two of them directly in Hilchos Yom Tov, and one of them about Chametz and Matzah related. It's about Pesach specifically, but not about Yom Tovim in general. Now, most of the rest of this parak, we're also going to be having machlokas in Bishamay Bishilol, but here it's the normal way around. Bishamay is Machmir, and Bishilol is Mekel, which is actually, we're going to discuss that in the Gemara, whether that's in fact correct. Is it in fact correct that only in the first Mishnah of Amasechta is Bishamay Mekel, and in the rest of them it's Machmir, or there may be others? Anyway, Bishamay Omin, Ein Melichinus Asulam Mishoivach L'Shoivach. You're not allowed to bring a ladder from one birdhouse to another. So you have birdhouses and you have birds in them. The following Mishnayos are going to talk about what you do as far as making those birds mukhan, making it that you have in mind to take some of those birds and shech them on Yom Tov. We're going to have another machloek, this Vishama Vishilul, about that. But in any case, let's assume that you did all that. So now on Yom Tov, you want to take a ladder and climb up to one of those birdhouses and take a couple of birds. So Bishamay is saying you can't carry it from one shoivach, from one birdhouse to another. So we'll see in the Gemara two possibilities why Bishamay would say that. But you're allowed to incline it from one window to another. A chaloin in Gemara terminology sometimes means a window, sometimes it means something more like a cubby. And here also, that's what it means. These birdhouses are made of a bunch of, each birdhouse has several little cubicles in it where the birds nest and raise their young. So if you have, right now, the ladder is in front of one cubicle, then you're allowed to move it over to the next one. Bishilol says you're allowed to carry the ladder in the first place. So one thing we have to figure out is whether we're talking about now you have different kinds of ladders. You have a ladder that's made for this purpose that's used to go up to shoivchus. And then you have a regular ladder, which is the kind that a person would go up onto their roof. So a shoivach ladder in particular is usually smaller because a shoivach is not really that tall. So Rashi uses the expression that it seems that we're talking about the Gemara. We start with the assumption that we're talking about a solom for shoivach. Marsha says, "What do you mean kasaka daitach?" That is what we end up with in the Gemara. So he takes out the word kasaka daitach in Rashi. He says maybe you can be miyashiv it bedoichet, but yeah. Okay. So Amar of Chonan bar Ami machloikus birshus harabim. This machloikus, whether you're allowed to carry the ladder. By the way, Tosfos also points out, don't you have a problem with tzeder if you take the birds? And the answer is we have to be talking about very young ones that are not able to fly yet. So once they're inside the cubicle over there, in effect, they're already trapped, and therefore you taking from there is not doing any more tzeder. Yeah, if there were larger birds that are already able to fly, you'd have a different issue of taking them on Yom Tov anyhow. So Omer of Chonan Ba'abi, Machloikus B'Rishos HaRabim. This Machloikus, whether you're allowed to carry the ladder, is in Rishos HaRabim. Now, of course, carrying is one of the malachas that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. But Shammai holds, as we're going to learn later on in the Perek, that you're only allowed to carry and do any of the other malachas only strictly for Eichel Nefesh. They don't hold of the concept that we're going to learn later on, Dakid Aleph Yudbeis, of Mitoich, that once a malacha is mutter for Eichel Nefesh, then it's mutter for other purposes as well. But here, obviously, the ladder is part of Eichel Nefesh, because without it, you're not going to be able to get the birds. So Bes Shammai is going to be fine with you carrying the ladder, but not in Rishus Rabim, and not because it's also Daraisa, but only Bes Shammai Sabri, Hodroya Omer, Latiach Gagoy Hutzarech. People who see him carrying it are going to think that he's going to, that he's going to plaster his roof, which is, of course, also on Yom Tov. Well, that's the thing. Wait. So Bes Shammai holds that that people are going to think that he's going to plaster his roof. The roofs were flat, so and they'd actually use them, so therefore they had to replaster them every so often. So yeah. Or Bes Hillel Sabri Shoychem Yichiach Olav, whereas Bes Hillel says that no, the fact that it's a ladder of the type that's used for a shoivach, and that the person owns a shoivach, that itself demonstrates that nobody's going to think that he's going to plaster his roof, because people are going to realize he's carrying a shoivach ladder for the purpose of his shoivach. But if he was carrying it in Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah Yachid, then it would be mutter because nobody's going to see him. Question is, Aini, is that so? That when we talk about things in Maris Ayin, there's a difference between in public and in private. Any place where the Chachamim said that something is also because of Maris Ayin is also even in the innermost chamber. Now, of course, Rav is an Amora, Rav Chanan bar Ami is also an Amora, so the Gemara could easily answer, so what? Rav Chanan bar Ami is entitled to disagree with Rav. Rashi and Tosfos both say, because Rav was so great, he was Rav and Shalkol Pnei Agoila, therefore we don't expect that another Amora is going to disagree, at least not of his caliber, is going to disagree with him. Mele Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, fine, but not Rav Chanan bar Ami, who's rarely in Shas, that he should disagree with Rav, we'd like to assume that not. So the answer is Tanoi. The answer is that there is actually a Tana that supports what Rav Chanan bar Ami is saying, and in that case, on that basis, you can disagree with that. The Tanya, in Masechta Shabbos, there's a Mishnah that talks about what happens if a person's clothing got wet while he was walking on the road, so it rained on him, or he fell into a canal or whatever. So he walks with his wet clothing, and then the Mishnah says, once he gets to a place where he can put away his clothes safely, he can spread them out in the sun to dry, but not in front of people, because people are going to think that he washed them on Shabbos. But Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Oisrin, they say it's Osir. So we see, in other words, that the Tanakama of that Mishnah allows, so here it's a matter of Maris Ayin, and yet the Tanakama allows you to do it in private, and Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon don't. So therefore, sort of Chanan bar Rava, the Rav Chanan bar Ami, rather, can be going like the Chachamim, like the Tanakama of that Mishnah, that makes that distinction between public and private. Whereas Rav would be going like Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon, Ikadamni, another version is Amar of Chanan bar Ami, Machloikas b'Rishus HaYochid. The other way around, the Machloikas is if he's carrying the ladder in Rishus HaYochid. Namely, Bes Shammai agrees with Rav's concept that once something is also in public, then it's also in private as well. So they're going to say it's also in public because of the concern that people are going to think that he's going to plaster his roof. And once we're asking it there, automatically it's also everywhere, even in Rosh Hashanah. Basila does not hold of that concept. They hold, fine, we're going to agree in Rosh Hashanah it's also, but in Rosh Hashanah it should be mutter. Abba Rosh Hashanah Divra Hakol also, but if it's in Rosh Hashanah they would all agree it's also. So now the question is, Lamer Rav de Omer Kibbutz Shammai. So you're telling me that Rav's statement about Kol Makom Sheosru Chachamim Afilu B'Chadrei Chadorim, you're going to tell me that goes according to Kibbutz Shammai? So Rashi explains that, now there is an explanation, Rashi says, that the question is on Rav. And Rav is going to answer that what he's saying about whether it's Osru B'Chadrei Chadorim or not is actually a Machloikas Tanoim. However, Rashi doesn't like that expression, doesn't like that explanation, because then so what? So you're going to tell me that Rav is going like Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon. How is that any better? You could just as well say he's going like the Shammai and the Halacha is not like them. Why should him going like Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon be any better? On the face of it, the Halacha should be like the Chachamim in that Mishnah. And therefore, Rashi says the question is really on Rav Chanan. Rav Chanan, in this second version, wants to say that this Hillel is distinguishing between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid. So then it comes out that according to him, then Rav's rule would be valid only according to that, that only Bais Shammai would be using Rav's rule and Bais Hillel would not. And how could that be? And the answer is Tanoim. The answer is it's actually Machlokes Tanoim, the Tanya, the same. It's actually, I don't know why the Tanya, it's actually, the Shotchan Bachama of Alokin Negra Om is a Mishnah in Shabbos. The Rabbi Lozov of Rabbi Shimon Ostrim is a Braisa on that, which is why the Gemara introduces it with the Tanya. So the Shotchan Bachama of Alokin Negra Om, Rabbi Lozov of Rabbi Shimon Ostrim. So therefore, so you do have Tanoim who hold that we don't make this distinction, that once it's also in public, then it's also in private. So therefore, we could say, according to them, according to their understanding, this Hillel would be disagreeing with Rab's statement. But fine, that doesn't mean that necessarily follows Lahalacha. Now, there is actually, so what's the Maskana actually? The Rambam paskins like the second version over here in the Gemara, namely that in Rishus HaRabim it's Osir and in Rishus HaYochid it's Mutter, which comes out like the second version. And the Raavad says on him, what are you talking about? We're saying over here that this is only according to some Tanoim. And so the Magen Mishnah explains over there that the Rambam would have a different understanding of all Gemara, that he would say essentially similar to what Rashi said, that when we're saying that Ketanoi, he were talking about we're saying that the Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Shimon would understand Beis Hillel a certain way, and the Tanakama of that mission would understand them a different way. Bechlau, who the halacha is like, is the halacha in that as far as Maris Ayin, there is also Machloikas Rishonim in that, is the halacha like the Tanakama, or is the halacha like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? Part of that gets into the question over here, is in fact Rab's statement according to them. We know the halacha is like Rab's, the halacha is going to be like Rab against Rabbi Chanan Ba'ami if it comes to that. So therefore, if we're saying that he holds like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, that would be a reason to pass him like them. And in fact, that is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that when something is also because of Maris Ayin, it's also even B'chadrei Chadorim. What comes into that though? What kind of things? What kind of Maris Ayin things are a concern about that? Is a whole nother question. One of them. There's a few different because there's actually the poskim bring in this connection a different Gemara in Ksubas that talks about a person has a drain pipe on their house which is stuffed full of leaves or whatever, and if they don't do something about it, the water is going to go out of the drain pipe and flood his whole house. And the Gemara says over there that he's allowed to move away the leaves with his feet and do it in private. So the question is why? Isn't that a case of Maris Ayin and Chadrei Chadorim should be Osir? So among the distinctions are, first of all, is what people see? There's a few different explanations among Rishonim. Tosfos over there says that the distinction is what he's doing something that people are going to think he's doing an Issur D'oraisa. In all Gemara, people think that he's going to tar his roof, which is an Issur D'oraisa. Over there, people aren't going to think that him removing the leaves from his drain pipe is an Issur D'oraisa, therefore we can allow it in private. And there's a few different other explanations that Rishonim bring. One of them is almost the other way around. There, really, what he's doing is actually mutter. It's only people. It looks to people like something that's Osir, so therefore we're going to allow it in private. It's not truly Osir. Whereas over here, plastering his roof really is Osir, and therefore, and it looks like that's what he's going to do, and therefore, we're going to prevent him from doing that even in private. But it seems from the Gemara over here that maybe not. Now, it does talk about in later poskim that, for example, like you have a stepladder, that there's no problem carrying around on Yom Tov, because it's pretty obvious you're not going to, you're not taking that up to the roof, or a small ladder like that. B'chlal, there is, so we're going to talk further on Omid Beis about this whole matter of moving the ladder. And there's also there also factors in another Gemara in Eruvin that implies that a ladder is something that you're allowed to move on that is something that you're allowed to move on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we have to factor that in also, what the dinim are on that. Right. So let's continue, and then to go up to your roof to get food that was drying over there, you wouldn't necessarily use a ladder to go up for that, I guess. You'd have a skylight in your house, and maybe that you'd have stairs or step ladder or something inside your house to do that. I guess the difference is when you're going to tar your roof. Rashi makes a point over here. In particular, they needed to tar it. First of all, when you can't stand on the roof and then plaster it, because then you're going to end up painting yourself into a corner, literally. But also Rashi makes a point over here that when you're plastering your roof, you have to do the plaster on the ends at an angle a little bit, so the water would run off. So I guess for that, you need a ladder to be able to stand next to the roof and do it. Whereas if you're going to get food off the roof, you can just climb up onto the roof itself from inside your house and do it. You don't necessarily need a ladder that you're going to carry in Rosh Hashanah for that. Okay. Gemara continues. Masnissim geloiki haitam. Now, our Mishnah that's saying that the machloikus is whether you're allowed to move, that Beis Shammai is saying you're not allowed to move the ladder from one place to another. You're only allowed to move it over from one cubicle to the other. And Beis Hillel allows it. That seems to be not like the following Tana. The Tanya, Omer Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Moedim Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Shemelichin as Asulim Meshavach Lashavach. In fact, Reb Shimon ben Elazar says both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that you are allowed to move the ladder from one brood house to the other. The whole machlokas is, once you use the ladder for that purpose, are you allowed to take it back to where you got it from? So Beis Shammai is not going to allow you to put it back, and Beis Hillel will, which we're going to have later on. We're going to have later on in Yud Aleph, Yud Beis or so, you're going to have something about there are certain things that we say, Hitirus Soifan Meshum Tchilosan. That even though there's a later stage of doing something, which in principle ought to be also because not needed for Eichel Nefesh, but the Chachamim realized if you allow them only to do the first stage and not the second, they're not going to do the first stage either, and Simchas Yom Tov is going to be interfered with, so therefore they allow you to do the later stage as well. So in effect, Beis Hillel will be saying that this is another example of that. If you don't allow him to put back the ladder, he's not going to take it out in the first place, and then he's not going to have birds to shecht for his Yom Tov table. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bamed Varam Amorim, B'Solom Shal Shaybach. Rabbi Yehuda says, so when is all this talking about? Is talking about a ladder that's used for a birdhouse, which is a smaller ladder. Avav Solom Shal Aliyah, but the kind of ladder that you use to climb up to the roof or to the second floor. Divrei Hakol also, then everybody would agree it's also because that kind, for sure, people are going to think that he's going to plaster his roof. Reb Dosa says that you're only allowed to move it from one cubicle to the other, which therefore it means, in other words, Tosfos says, Reb Dosa might say that this is not one of the things that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued about, because we're not going to have, Reb Dosa is not going to go like Beis Shammai, the halacha is not like them anyway. So he would be saying, they both agree that you can only move it over from one cubicle to the other. And then Acherim, which is usually Reb Meir, says in the name of Reb Doisa, you're also allowed to walk the ladder over. Like you have, sometimes you have like a big heavy box or something. So you lift up an end of it and then move it through, and then you lift up the next end, and it's like you walk it, or you sort of walk it along like that. So Acherim are saying that you're allowed to do that as well, not just to incline the ladder from one cubicle to the other, but also to walk it over a little bit like that. So the Gemara tells Bnei Reb Chiya Nofuk L'Kir Yasa. The sons of Reb Chiya, their names were Yehuda and Chizkiya. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos they were actually twins. What happened was, the Gemara tells us that Yehudis, the wife of Reb Chiya, had twin boys, Yehuda and Chizkiya. Then she had twin girls named Pazi and Tavi. And after that, she stopped having children. So these two were great Talmid Chachamim in their own right. You have a Gemara in Bava Metzia, for example, that tells Eliyahu Hanavi one time told Rebbe if three of them daven together, they could bring Mashiach. And Rebbe actually tried it one time, but then Eliyahu Hanavi then was sent down in Shemayim to scatter them. Yeah. Anyway, so Bnei Reb Chiya Nofuk L'Kir Yasa. They one time went out to the villages because they had farms, they had properties over there. So they went to check up on them. Ki also, when they came back, Amalahu Avuhin, their father Reb Chiya asked them, Chlum Maisa Bali Yevchem, is there any case in Halacha that came to you? Mistama, you didn't just go in order to check on your fields. While you're there, of course, you're doing Mitzoyim, you're doing other things, you're doing things with Yiddishkeit. So what came across? Amrulai. So they told him, Sulam, bal yadenu vihitanuhu. There was brought to us a case of this. Are you allowed to move a yomtiv? Are you allowed to move a ladder from one brood house to the other? And we allowed them to, for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain why. Amrulahem, but Rabbi tells them, no good. Suv isru mashi tautim. Go and tell them that what you said is mutter is really awesome. Now, what's going on over here? They figured, since Rabbi Yehuda says that they're not arguing about a ladder, about a larger ladder that's used for climbing up to roofs, Rabbi Yehuda is saying the whole argument is only about a sulam shal shayvach, and we assume that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with the Tanakama, so therefore Miklal the Tanakama, implying that the Tanakama's version of the Machlokas Beshameh with Beshillel would be even by a large ladder, Beshillel would allow it. Therefore, they allowed the people of this village to carry a large ladder on Yom Tov. But Velohi, but Rabbi Chia tells them that they're wrong on that. Rabbi Yehuda timed a Tanakama come afarish. Because in fact, Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing with the Tanakama, he's clarifying what the Tanakama said. Now, Tosfos points out, in fact, we have a usual rule in the Gemara that there are various places where the Tanakama of a Mishnah will say, or a Braisa will say something, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Bamed Varam Amurim, or Rabbi Yehuda says, Amasai. So we have a rule, the Gemara mentions in some places, that when he says Amasai, then he's just coming to clarify what the Tanakama says. But if he says Bamed Varam Amurim, like here, then he's coming to argue. That's why Bnei Rabbi Chia, that's why Yehuda and Chizkiah thought, in fact, over here that he's arguing. But in fact, Tosfos says that rule does not necessarily apply to Braises. So therefore, in a Braise, Rabbi Yehuda might, well, because we often have that the wording of a Braise is not as precise as the wording of a Mishnah, so therefore you may well have a, where Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Bamed Varam Amurim, and he's actually also coming to clarify. Okay. Mimai, and how does Rabbi Chia know that? How does he know that, that Rabbi Yehuda is only clarifying what the Tanakama says rather than arguing? And therefore, that and if that's the case, it means that in fact, that the whole machlokas is as far as a smaller ladder. So even though a smaller ladder is not usually used to climb up to roofs, but you could use it for that, and therefore Bishamai is not allowing it, and according to the second version that we had on Amun Aleph, even Bishilul is not allowing it, Bishul Tadabim. So how do we know? Midikatani melichin as a solom mishayvach l'shayvach. Because the expression in the Mishnah and in the Braisa is that you're allowed to move the ladder, you're allowed to carry the ladder from one shayvach to another. If you're going to tell me that they're arguing about a large ladder, the kind that's regularly used for climbing up to roofs, then what's the expression? You can take it from one birdhouse to another, implying that before Yom Tov it was by one birdhouse, and now you want to move it to the next one. The expression should be you're allowed to take the ladder to the birdhouse, because that's what it would be. It would be in your, house or in your garage or whatever, where usually during the week you use it to climb up to your roof. And now on Yom Tov, you're carrying it from there to your birdhouse. The fact that it says mi shoivach l'shoivach to begin with implies that we're talking about a solom shal shoivach. And still, and still we're saying that Beis Shammai doesn't allow it anywhere, and Beis Hillel allows it only in Rosh HaYachid or according to the different versions that we had before. So that's what forces us to say el alav hachikama shal shoivach ein shal ali aloi. So evidently, therefore, even the Tanakama is saying that only a solom shal shoivach you're allowed to, but a solom shal aliyah you're not allowed to. So that's what we're saying, that Yehuda and Chizkiah misunderstood that. They thought that according to the Tanakama, any kind of ladder should be mutter, and Rabbi Chia is telling them, no, the same machlokas applies to a sulam shal aliyah as well, a sulam shal aliyah. Everybody is going to say is usur. Therefore, go back and tell those villagers that they're not allowed to move a sulam shal aliyah on Yom Tov. But a shoivach, they would be allowed to. Yeah. Now after all, Yehuda and Chizkiah are smart Talmud Chachamim themselves. They should be able to understand that point. So what do they answer to that? They say Mikotani Sulam Shel Shoivach. Fine, but after all, the Mishnah and the Braisa don't say anything about a Sulam Shel Shoivach. Mi Shoivach L'Shoivach Katani. All it says is it means that you can take it from one birdhouse to another. But what it means is, in other words, Ba'afilo L'Kama Shoivchin. The Chiddush is not that we're talking about a Sulam Shel Shoivach, and before Yom Tov it was by one Shoivach, and now we're saying you're moving it to another. What we're talking about maybe is even a Sulam Shel Aliyah, you're allowed to carry it to the first Shoivach, and from there to the second Shoivach, and so forth. We don't say at some point that too much Shlucha for Yom Tov, so they would understand that the Mishnah is implying that, not that it's implying that there's a difference between different kinds of ladders. Okay. Ikadamri, another version of the story is Amrulai, that the Rav Chiya's son told him, Hitri Sulam Shalaliyah Bali Adenu. They asked us about a case where you brought the Sulam Shalaliyah before Yom Tov to the Shoevach. Now you just need to move it over from one cubicle to another. Are you allowed to do that? Vihitavnuhu, and we told them it's Mutter. And again, Amalahem, in the second version, he tells them, Suva Isru, Mashi Tartem, go and tell them that what you said is what you told them is Mutter is really also. Now again, let's figure out what was the svara. Inu Savu Maidika Asa Tanakama Kashori Rabdosa. They thought, now let's look back at the Braisa. We had Rabdosa says Mateo Mechaloin Lachaloin. So evidently he has to be disagreeing with the Tanakama in something. So they thought, okay, the Tanakama allows you to move it from one cubicle to another. And the pastures, we have to be talking about the pastures. We have to be talking about a sulam shel aliyah, because a sulam shel shoevach, we had Beis Hillel telling us in the Mishnah that you can even bring it there in the first place. So even a sulam shel aliyah, so fine. Reb Dosa is saying a sulam shel aliyah, you can't move from one cubicle to another, implying that the Tanakama disagrees, and the halacha is going to be like the Tanakama. The loyhi, but that's not so. Maidika shori Tanakama. Sorry, Maidika also Tanakama kashori Reb Dosa. Sorry, they thought the other way around. They thought that what the Braisa means is the Tanakama of Reb Dosa's Braisa, which is Reb Yehuda. He's telling you that you're not allowed to carry the Sulam Shalaliyah, and Reb Dosa is being matu and saying even a Sulam Shalaliyah, you're allowed to move over from one cubicle to another. So therefore, it would come out that you could do like that then. But that's not so. It's the other way around. It's the other way around. The Tanakama is saying that you're allowed to bring a Sulam Shal Shoevach, and Reb Dosa is saying that no, you're not allowed to bring it there. You're only allowed to move it over from one cubicle to another, which again, like Tosfa says, means that Reb Dosa would say that there's no machlokas b'shamay b'shilul about that. They both agree to this concept, unlike what it says in the Mishnah. So therefore, so it comes out then that a sulam shalat. So we're not even talking about a sulam. So Reb Dosa is not even referring to a sulam shalaliyah at all. And therefore, when they said that you're allowed to move a sulam shalaliyah from one window, from one cubicle to another, then it comes out there's no tana that holds that way, which is why Reb Chiya tells them, go back and tell them that what you thought is mutter is really awesome.
So the difference over here is.
So part of the difference is whether it was there before Yom Tov or not. That's Matehu Mechaloin Lachaloin. There's also, there's the distinction, what kind of ladder are we talking about? Are we talking about a big one, a Sulam Shal Aliyah, or a small one, a Sulam Shal Shoevach? There's also, there's the distinction whether it was there before Yom Tov and you only being Mate it versus when you're carrying it from one place to another. So the maskana, I mean, the halacha is like the Hillel of our Mishnah. So the halacha is in the end, like I said, the Rambam Paskins, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that in Rishus Rabbim it's also to carry it, but in Rishus Yochid you're allowed to carry it from your house to the Shoevach in the first place and use it to climb up there and get the birds.
I think it's business about
So that's the thing. So actually, the Rambam says because of Simchas Yom Tov we allow it, which is one of the things the Ravid asks on the Rambam that doesn't seem to fit with the Gemara that we said before, and that's what I was saying. The Magen Mishnah explains that the Rambam would have a different understanding of the Gemara, more similar to Rashi's understanding rather than Tosfos's about what the Gemara meant in terms of how we put that part about the Tanakama versus Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon, how we put that together with Rav's statement. We said in the Mishnah, Ava Matehu Mechaloin Lechaloin Lechaloin. We said that Beis Hillel that even Beis Shammai allows you to move over the ladder from one cubicle to another. So Alma Gabes Simchas Yom Tov. So the bottom line is though that in other words, Beis Shammai is being machmir here, and Beis Hillel is being mekel. So Alma Gabes Simchas Yom Tov. Beis Shammai Lechumra Beis Hillel Lekula. So we see that when it comes to something involving Simchas Yom Tov, Beis Shammai is machmir and Beis Hillel is being mekel because they say we want you to have Simchas Yom Tov. Uraminhi, but the Gemara says I have a contradiction from the previous Mishnah, from the first Mishnah of our Masechta. Now, the Gemara is going to skip over the one about Beit Shano the Yom Tov, and Rashi and Tosfos both explain because of Beit Shano the Yom Tov, a Beit Shano, there's not so much Simchas Yom Tov in being able to eat an egg. So therefore, so there's no problem in saying that the Shammai is being makel over there. But when we come to the next thing in the Mishnah, or the Minui, the Mishnah there said, Hashechet chayav oif yamtiv, person shechts an animal or a bird, a wild animal or a bird on yamtiv, and needs to do kisi adam, b'shama emim yachba b'deka v'yachase, b'shama says he can dig with a spade, in other words, the spade doesn't have to be stuck in the ground before yamtiv, like we said the other day, and he can do kisi adam, and Basil requires the dirt to be mukhan before yamtiv. So we see that Beis Shammai is being nakel, where it's going to interfere with Simchas Yom Tov, because they're saying if you make him have a deck of notes, then he's not going to shecht at all, and then he's not going to have meat for Yom Tov. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mochlefes ashita. So Rabbi Yochanan says there's a flip between their shittas. That we have to flip around what Beis Shammai is saying in one place. Well, not necessarily in one place. According to Rashi, it comes out what we're going to say is that the case of Hashoichet Chayav Oif B'Yomdev, there we're going to keep as we had it, that Beis Shammai is being makel. The other Mishnayos, this one and subsequent Mishnayos, where we have Beis Shammai being machmer, then we're going to flip those around and say that actually Beis Shammai, the correct version, is that Beis Shammai is makel and Beis Hillel is machmer. Tosfos discusses that and says not necessarily. It could be the other way around, that mochlefes hashita would be that we flip around the Mishnah of Hashoichet Chayav Oif B'Yomtov. So Tosfos mentions, by the way, on the first wide line of Tosfos, you have a very interesting expression over there. Rabbi Natan says, Tameyani, I'm wondering, al mahi tzricha olam hachana, why is it that the veld requires hachana to be able to use something, to be able to use dirt to cover something, to cover kisi adam or whatever on Yomtov? Given that, if we're saying, according to Tosfos' Shitta, that the Hillel are the ones who are being makel in the previous Mishnah, and they're the ones who are saying that that you're allowed to shecht even without deco notes. And he says, when I was younger, says Rabbi Natan, they didn't used to require it. Now they misunderstand all Gemara. That says Rabbi Natan. They think that the Mochlefes Hashita means that we leave this Shammai and this Hillel with their original opinions about Hashoichet Chayav Oif B'Yomtov, and we flip around this Mishnah and the next few Mishnayas. So that led them to think that this Hillel does require Achana, whereas Rabbi Natan says, really, that's incorrect. This Hillel are not the one, based on what we're saying over here in the Gemara, this Hillel are not the ones who require Achana. Okay, and then Tosfos goes on to discuss the ins and outs of that a little bit. There are Mephoshim who say that even Rabbi Yochanan doesn't necessarily mean Mochlefes Hashita, as we actually have to flip around the Mishnah. He may just be saying that it seems like the Shammai and the Hillel switched positions, but not that we actually are going to say that any of the Mishnayos that we have are actually incorrect and they switched around the opinion, but rather just that it seems that the Shammai and the Hillel at some point switched their own opinions. Yeah, there is, by the way, the Rishonim also point out in this connection that there's now in Masechta Adius, lists all the unusual machlokes in this Shammai Basil. It doesn't list all of them. There were some 300 of them. It couldn't list all of them, but it lists all the unusual ones, the ones where Shammai is Makel and Basil is Machmer, the ones where Basil ended up conceding to Shammai, Chazru Basil, Lahuris Kadiv Shammai. There were three or four of those and a few other ones like that. This, the Mishnah of Hashoichet Chayav Oif B'Yomtov is in there. That is a strong proof. That's a strong proof for Tosfos' Shitta that in fact we're leaving that Mishnah as is and flipping around the other Mishnayos in our Perek, which are not listed in Adius, and saying therefore that the Beis Shammai is Makel over there, and in the subsequent Mishnayos over here, okay, Beis Shammai is also Makel, but it didn't list them for whatever reason. Fine, ton of a shear. But not the other way around, because then what is that Mishnah doing in Adius at all? Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying Mechlefes Hashita. So the Gemara says, Mimai, who says that you have to say that anything is flipped around? Why does Rabbi Yochanan find it so hard to reconcile what Beis Shammai is saying in that Mishnah with what they say in this Mishnah? Dilma ad kam l'ka'amir Beis Shammai hosam. Notes. You know why this Hillel is, you know why this Shammai is allowing it over there, is because there is a deco notes. Avol hecha deleka deco notes. Like maybe in fact, if there's no deco notes, if there's no shovel already stuck in the ground, so there's not even the beginning of chafira. So even though it's true, we're talking about loose dirt. even though it's true, we're talking about loose dirt, so there's not really a problem of crushing it or whatever, like we talked about yesterday. But if there's no Decker notes, maybe this Shammai would not allow it. Now that is different than what we were saying before. That Bis Hillel is allowing it only if there's Decker notes, and Bis Shammai is allowing it regardless. But now the Gemara is taking the view that even according to Bis Shammai, you need Decker notes. All it is according to them, you need that little bit of Hachana. One of the points, some of the Rishai, I think the Rashba makes a point, is if you have Decker notes, then at least, yes, it might be actually you're making a hole in the ground, you're making a guma, which we said yesterday would be a problem of Boina. However, if you already have a Decker notes, then you already have a little bit of the binyan completed. That would be the equivalent of like the halacha, where if you have a tefach extended of an oil arai, then you're allowed to extend the rest of it on Shabbos. So similarly to you, if you have a deco notes, you already have one of the shovel stuck into the ground, so the beginning of the digging has already been done, then you'd be allowed to do the rest of the digging. Exactly, like a shlok of a sukkah and like other such things, yeah. Like the top of a baby carriage. There's a lot of examples like that, right? The inami, and furthermore, and here, but usually, by the way, inami in the Gemara usually means we're going to give an alternative answer. Here, the Rashba explains that inami is actually a continuation of this answer. Furthermore, not inami doesn't mean instead we could answer like this, but rather furthermore, ad kan l'ka'ami b'shilol hocha el d'shoyv chemechiyachalom. In our case, like we said, b'shilol says, nobody's going to think la'atiyach gagoy because they know he has a shoyvach, and they know he's carrying a ladder for a shoyvach, like we said, and therefore it's going to be allowed, aval hosam loy, but over there not, because after all, you have the problem, sometimes the dirt needs to be crushed. And we talked about yesterday that you have a problem doing that because you'd be over on a malacha crushing it. So there's no reason to say that just because this Shammai is makel over there, therefore we should expect them to be makel here. There's very logical reasons to say that there's a big distinction between there and here. Ela ikasha hokasha. Rather, let's go to the next Mishnah and see where there this Shammai is being machmer. The question would be, where you want to take birds from the birdhouse. So Bis Shammai says, you can only take them only if you picked up each bird before Yom Tov and moved it, and with that you're doing Hachana. And Bis Hillel says that no, all you have to do. Bis Hillel says you only have to stand there and point to them and say, I'm going to take this one and not. Now why it is, Rashi explains over here, usually hachana, it's enough to do the dibur. Why over here do you need to do a maisa? So Rashi explains, which we're going to learn tomorrow, best Hashem, that because here what might happen is, on Yom Tov itself, you might change your mind and say, you know what, I don't want to take these birds after all. I don't want to shech these birds after all. Then it comes out, you took them for no reason. You were taking them, you were handling something which is mukta on Yom Tov without a good purpose. So therefore, Bis Shammai requires you to pick them up. And once you pick them up already, then we already expect that you're actually gonna go through with it. So again, we have an example where Bis Shammai is being machmir, even though it's going to interfere with Simchas Yom Tov, because if he doesn't do that nianua before Yom Tov, he's not gonna have birds to eat. And Bis Hillel is allowing it. So therefore, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Mokhlaf is Hashita, Uvonomini Hashaykh Chai Barif Yom Tov. On the other hand, in the first Mishnah, Bis Shammai is allowing you to shech, and Bis Hillel is not. So Amar Rabbi Yechon, Mokhlaf is Hashita. So again, Rabbi Yechon will be saying, that's where we have to say Mokhlaf is Hashita. Fine, not based on our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, you can say that you have the Shaykh and Mechia Cholav, but the next Mishnah. But again, Vidum Alohi, not necessarily is that a contradiction, that you should have to say Mokhlaf is Hashita. Ad kan makam Bis Shammai ela hecha d'ika Decker notes. Again, Bis Shammai is only saying that you allow it over there because there's a Decker notes. Aval hecha d'leka Decker notes, loy. But if you don't have the equivalent of that, then no. And here again, you don't have the equivalent of Decker notes in the sense that when you pick up the bird, if you just designate the birds verbally before Yom Tov, then on Yom Tov, when you pick them up, you may decide, you know what, I don't want to shech these after all. And then that takes away your hazmana. Therefore it's not the same thing. Inami, and furthermore, ad kan l'ka'ami b'shilol hocha ela kibin d'muktzehu, because after all, it's only a matter of mukta. It's only an isur d'rabbanan. So therefore, ba'omen ba'omen, zevazani neitol sagi, so to say that he says stand there and say that I'm going to take it is good enough. Aval Hossam Loy. But over there, you're talking about, again, you're talking about the potential issue of Ksisha, of crumbling up the dirt to do for Kisi Adam, which is a Malacha Daraisa. So maybe for that reason, this hill is not allowing it over there. Nothing to do with, nothing. So we don't need Mechalefes Ashitya for that. So we'll continue tomorrow with that discussion, Bez Hashem, where we have other examples. We're going to go through several Mishnayos in our Perek, where we're going to see each time where this Shammai is being Machmir, and doesn't that contradict the fact that they were Mako by Hashir Chayva Ifi Yomtev, and each time Rabbi Yechim is going to say Mechalef Es Hashita, and each time we're going to show that no, there's a good valid reason to assume that the Mishnayos as we have them and the respective opinions as we have them are correct, and nobody flipped their opinions and nobody flipped Mishnayos around or anything. So we said if it's very soft sand, that takes care of the problem of digging, but it doesn't necessarily take care of the problem of ksisha, because even with soft dirt, you still may have where there are clods of dirt in it that need to be crushed to do for kisi adam. So we said that most of the time you don't have that. Therefore, but Shammai holds you don't have to make a gzera about that, and Basilo says you do. But nevertheless, if there are such clogs, then yeah, for sure you can't crush them because that would be a malacha.